Deuteronomy chapter 5, in a moment, the reading will be verse 11. We come again this morning to God's moral law as delivered by God upon Mount Sinai in 10 commandments. We do not come to the 10 commandments to try to be saved by obedience to them. They cannot do that for us. They have no power to justify us before God. God has put power into the Ten Commandments, but not the power to save sinners from His wrath. If you try to get the Ten Commandments to save you by justifying you in God's sight, they only will do the very opposite. They will condemn you. The Ten Commandments inform us of the will of God and our duty toward Him and toward other people. That is, how we are to love God and to love our neighbors. When we compare what God commands us with how we really are, His commandments reveal the sinful pollutions of our lives and of our very hearts. So we do not come to the Ten Commandments this morning to try to be saved by them. But we do come to the Ten Commandments to receive good things from God. For one thing, we come to receive clearer sight than what we would have otherwise. Clearer sight of the need we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through the Ten Commandments, we see clearly how great is our guilt and how much we deserve to be punished by God, and so how welcome to us is the gospel, the good news of forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Through the lens of the Ten Commandments, we perceive how polluted we are by the filth of our sins, and how much we need to be purified by washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the Ten Commandments, we see how perfect Jesus Christ's obedience to God's will is, and how much we need that perfect righteousness of His to be counted for us. With that clearer sight of the need we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those of you still in your sins may believe in Jesus Christ to save you. You may repent of your sins, turning from them to follow Jesus Christ, and so be forgiven of all your breaking of the commandments in His name. Those of you who already are in Jesus Christ through faith may be renewed in repentance and strengthened in faith. So for another thing, we come to the Ten Commandments to find help in resisting temptation, just as our Lord Jesus Christ Himself did. He never sinned, but He was sorely tempted. He was tempted by the devil in person. And He answered that temptation by the commands of God's law. We are normally tempted by sin in our own flesh and by the alluring things in the sinful world around us. So we come to the Ten Commandments to hide God's word in our hearts so that we might not sin against Him, so that we, like our Lord Jesus Christ, can answer each temptation with God's law. So to receive these good things and other benefits from the hand of the Lord, come with me this morning to the Ten Commandments. I'm speaking to you again today from the third commandment, continuing in the theme of taking the name of the Lord, just not taking it in vain. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are in Exodus chapter 20, and then they're in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when Moses retold them to the next generation that had grown up in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We take the name of the Lord, but not in vain, when we give praise and thanks to his name by Jesus Christ from the heart. I'm going to refer to Hebrews chapter 13. While you're looking there, let me remind you that in the days of the Old Covenant, before Jesus Christ died, when worshipers came to worship the Lord, they offered sacrifices that were the fruit of their farms. Grain, olive oil, goats, sheep, cattle. The worshipers brought their sacrifices to the tabernacle or to the temple and offered them by the priests God had appointed, those descended from Aaron. But now, in the days of the new covenant that Jesus Christ has instituted, those ceremonial offerings from the Old Testament are all abrogated. That's the theological term. They're ended. They're done away with. They're no longer in effect. God is not commanding those things of anybody. To worship God now, we offer sacrifices of praise to God by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, that's Jesus Christ who had just been mentioned, therefore by him, Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Isn't that interesting? As a worshiper from Israel in the Old Covenant could come to the tabernacle bringing the fruit of his farm, we come and worship the Lord bringing the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I'm going to turn next to Ephesians chapter 5. That offering the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Much of that praising and thanking of God is done in worship, as we're doing right now. This can be done lots of other times also. It's certainly nothing like you have to wait till you come to church, and only then can you praise the Lord, offering him the fruit of your lips, giving thanks in his name. Not at all. But this, in a formal way, is our main opportunity to do that, and much of it is as we sing to the Lord together. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it is possible for a person to offer praise and thanksgiving to the name of the Lord, but only in vain, only in a way that's empty, that's false, really, that's ineffectual. Because to try to praise the Lord, but with no reference to Jesus Christ as our Savior, with no idea that our praises to God are by Him. As if praising God were just an empty ritual or ceremony, is to take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, there's all kinds of worship that goes on all over the world where people sing some song or chant some chant or, you know, go through, a lot of times I really just come and watch some show, whether an old-fashioned show in the Roman Catholic kind of, you know, way where the priests, so-called priests, are up there doing things and the worshipers are more or less just spectators, or a newfangled show with lots of loud music and smoke and things like that. Either way, a lot of times this kind of worshiping, giving praise and thanks, is done just by people who are just watching a show. And to do that is just vain. To give thanks for those things that God does that please you, those things you agree with perfectly, but then to refuse to be thankful to God for all that He does, well, that's a kind of taking the name of the Lord in vain. The Bible says here, and indicates other places also, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Those things in His providence that we appreciate and are glad for, and those things in His providence that seem strange to us, more unwelcome to us when they arrived. Let me offer an illustration of this that might also, the illustration itself might be of some practical help to you. When my children were little, which is starting to be a long time ago now, but when I used to have a house full of little people, we would sit down at supper, and I used to require them to say thank you as they received their plate of food. And I did it in such a way that I still had hold on it until they said thank you. And then I would release it as they said thank you. Every once in a while, I would be careless, and it would actually be in front of them before they had said thank you. And then when I, you know, tried to get them to say thank you and they, you know, pursed their little lips, then I would just take it away. And I used to tell them, you have to say thank you when somebody gives you your food, no matter what it is. Because the gratitude is for, you know, being given your food. It's not gratitude that it's exactly what you want. It's gratitude that your parents or grandparents or whoever it is knows what it's best to give you and is giving you what's good for you. And so that's the way we did it. If you parents are having trouble with that, you might do that. You might just keep hold of the food and make the receiving the food requisite upon the child saying tatu, or whatever level his thank you has reached by that age. It's pretty little when they can understand that and do that, right? It's before they can even say thank you clearly, they already can get out something. Their little brains and wills are already at work to try to figure out whether they can be in charge or whether you have to be in charge when they're very little. So, anyway, on a practical basis, you might require your children to say thank you to receive their food. And then, as to our dealings with God, He does what He knows is best. And He causes everything that His providence brings in this world to work out for the best for those who are the called, who are in Christ Jesus. He makes it all to work out for our good. And so we give thanks, the Bible says, for all things. Well, to give thanks only for those things that you agree that God should have given you, and not to be willing to give thanks for those things you really are suspicious God got wrong, is to take the name of the Lord in vain in a way. Now, you know, also to say or to sing with your mouth for people to hear, but not in your heart to the Lord, is a taking of the Lord's name in vain, as if the name Jesus, you know, the term the Lord, or the word God, or the name Jehovah or Yahweh, as if those things were only what they are physically. They are something physical, you know, they're words on a page, they're sounds that come out of our mouth and into our ears, they are something physically, but they are full of all that God is, all of his being. Everything true of him in any sense, those words are full of that. All that he is and all that he's done are wrapped up in those words. Those are the words he allows us, graciously allows us to use to speak of him. We as creatures, we don't deserve to be allowed to speak of the Creator with words that come out of our mouth and letters that come off of our pencil. We don't deserve to be able to refer to God in those things, but he's full of grace. He's merciful toward us. He's gracious toward us. He gives and lets us do that. He condescends to let us do that. Well, then, to speak his praises, to say thanks, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and it's not in your heart, you're just doing it with your lips. You're just doing it because maybe you think you have a good singing voice and you're thinking how other people will hear you and think that. I can testify to that from my own experience. Or you just want to be seen as good or something like that. You're just doing it on the surface and in the physical without it being from your heart. You know, that's to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What we are to be doing is that as we speak and sing in a way that can be heard by other people, well, that's for their benefit. That's good for them, for us to speak to each other in psalms, hymns. It's good for each other. At the same time, it's supposed to be that you are singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so it's possible for a person to offer praise and thanksgiving in the name of the Lord, but only in vain, with no reference to Jesus Christ or with no true thankfulness or it not being from the heart. God's commandment is that we not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. How then can we take his name but not in vain? We take the name of the Lord but not in vain when we from the heart give praise and thanks to his name in all things through faith in Jesus Christ. And we take the name of the Lord, but not in vain, when we read and hear the word of the Lord and keep it. You heard one of the brothers read that a little while ago. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ from Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You realize that indicates that's what people were doing. They were calling him Lord or Master or Rabbi, but then not doing what he said. You heard, as I mentioned a moment ago, you heard the brother read earlier that our Lord Jesus said that to call him Lord and to hear his word, then not to keep it, is like building your house right on the ground with no foundation, or building your house on sand. Now, think about these things. You say Lord. Lord is the person that you're supposed to listen to and do what he says. You say Lord, but then you don't do what he says. You hear what he says, but then you don't keep it. And so that's like building without a foundation. Now, if you build a house, then at the first bad weather, it just collapses. You realize you have built that house in vain, right? The house is there. It looks like it's supposed to look, but the structural underpinnings are absent. So it's really a false house. It's more like the kind of house in the Western movies where it's just a facade and there's not really things in there. It's building the house in vain. Similarly, of course, because the Lord Jesus said it to illustrate this, hearing the word of the Lord and not keeping it is taking the name of the Lord in vain. James wrote about this also, James chapter 1. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'll go on, but that reminds me of the first week of this when I was talking about what it is to take the name of the Lord in vain. The Hebrew word has to do with falsely. The Apostle James, here James is saying there is deceit in this phenomenon of hearing the word and not keeping it. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forgets what he looks like. Purpose of looking in a mirror so that you can know what you look like. And then if a person looks in a mirror and turns away and forgets what he looked like, then what good was it to look in the mirror? Right? He looked in the mirror in vain, to no good purpose. Didn't accomplish anything good by it. He looked in a mirror as if it weren't truly a mirror, as if it couldn't do what it really can. You see, James is putting it another way as the Holy Spirit helps him to state the same thing. Hearing the word of the Lord and not keeping it is a taking the name of the Lord in vain. So we're working on the third commandment. For just a moment, back to the second commandment. It is a matter of the second commandment that we do this thing, that we worship by reading and hearing the word of the Lord. The second commandment tells us, you know, very briefly, not to make idols and bow down to them. Tells us what not to do in worship. The implication, as you follow the doctrine through in the rest of the Bible, is that we worship according to how God said he is to be worshipped, and we don't make anything up ourselves and try to worship him by those other things. And one of the things that God has told us to do is to read the word of God, or, you know, in a body like this, have somebody stand up and read it aloud and explain what it means, and all to hear. That we do that in worship is a matter of the second commandment. We are doing that right now. We're not watching jugglers. You know, there's not an entertaining show being put on up here. We're not pledging allegiance to the flag. You know, we're not having all the grandmothers stand up and be applauded. There's a lot of things that we could think of to do that we are not doing, because God has told us what to do in worship and told us not to do anything we just make up. So that's why, right now, I am reading the word of God aloud and expounding it to you, and you are listening. Now, that's a matter of the second commandment. But then, how we do that is a matter for the third commandment. What is going on in our attitudes? What is our heart toward this? Whether we really are listening to believe what we're hearing, or whether we're listening just to get it over with. Whether we're hearing and our intent is to obey, or whether we're just hearing this because we're supposed to go to church. You know, that is a matter for this third commandment, that we're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Taking the name of the Lord, but not in vain, involves obeying what God commands and believing in the truth that he proclaims. I'll quote John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There certainly is the aspect of believing where if you didn't know that before and then you hear it, you are then to acknowledge the truth of it. Well, there's more to it than that. There is the sense in which you are trusting yourself to Jesus Christ. You are depending entirely on him for your salvation. You are turning yourself over to him, trusting that he will do all for you that is needed for your everlasting life. So the word of God is there. It has been written down for us so that we can hear it and believe in Jesus Christ through it. I'll quote Acts 15:7. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men, brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This was by God's determining that it would not be only Israelites or Jews who would hear, but also that the whole world would hear, the Gentiles would hear. And not only that they would hear the gospel, but also that they would believe. God doesn't send forth his word and say, here's my word. For what it's worth, take it or leave it. You know, that's not how it is with the word of God. God sends forth his word. He sends out to the whole world that Jesus Christ has died a substitute for sinners. And now there is forgiveness of sins through his blood. And he's risen from the dead and lives forevermore. And there's everlasting life trusting in him. He sends that out and commands all men everywhere to repent, to believe in Jesus Christ. That is the purpose in God sending it out, that men will hear it and believe and so be saved. So taking the name of the Lord, but not in vain, involves hearing the word of the Lord, obeying what he commands, and believing in the truth that he proclaims. Then when we do that, when we hear the word of the Lord and keep it, well, we don't then say, well, I've kept the word of the Lord, and therefore because of what I've done, I'm good. No, we don't. Continuing in Acts chapter 15, verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. The apostles have come to the conclusion, rightly, that the Israelites, the Jews, will be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles, who believe also, will be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the same. And it's kind of funny that, funny now looking back, thinking that they wouldn't have understood that at first. Seems so obvious now. They had a hard time understanding that, but the Lord was patient with them and taught them in several ways so that the apostles came to understand that and communicate that to us. Now in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. There's just one new man. It's not that Israel is, you know, saved by doing this and this, and Gentiles are saved by doing this and this. No. We're all saved through faith in Jesus Christ. All who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And what has happened there that we have heard the word of the Lord and believe. We're hearing the word of the Lord and keeping it. The apostles ascribed that to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed it was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by which they could believe and be saved. We disclaim faith as some good work that we perform. We believe that faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Here we were dead in trespasses and sins. And I think dead in the same sense in which we needed to believe. So that being dead in that very same sense, we could not believe unless we were quickened, given new life, regenerated, born again. And so we don't believe that faith or believing is some good work that we do, or even some good thing in us, but instead it's the work of the Holy Spirit regenerating us. So then we believe, and that having been a work of the Holy Spirit quickening us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we then have to just say, amazing grace. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by which we were saved. We don't believe that it was that God did almost everything for us and then just left it to us whether we would choose him or not. No, I think I was way deader than that in trespasses and sins. I didn't need almost everything done for me and then I'd do the rest myself. No, I believe that even believing and repenting had to be granted to me by the grace of God and worked in me by the Holy Spirit, so that it's not just mostly of God's grace and some of my own good choices. No, it's all of God's grace. So we're to hear the word of the Lord and keep it, but even when we do, we don't give glory to ourselves for that, but we give all glory to the grace of Jesus Christ for that. It is a very foolish and dangerous thing to hear the word of the Lord and not to keep it. I'm going to turn for a moment to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is part of the account of what our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us, for our salvation. Now, I'm going to stay looking at Luke 22, but I need to remind you of something that is said in the third commandment. The third commandment is given, and then it adds, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I've been reading the old Puritan Ten Commandments material, and one of the things said repeatedly is that that's added because of the way that we human beings, we care about ourselves and not about God naturally. The commandment that says, shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor, when we say, you know, you shouldn't give your neighbor a bad name. You shouldn't say, you know, John Smith did this thing when John Smith really didn't do that thing. We feel that because we don't want that done to us. The things in the second table of the law, we tend to feel the rightness of them as soon as they're said. Things in the first table of the law about God, we don't feel as much. We don't feel as naturally. We're not God. Offense against God, that's an offense against, you know, somebody else. Offense against man, well, if it's me, of course I feel it. But even if it's against my fellow man, I feel it. But when it's against God, I don't feel it in my corrupted, sinful flesh. Therefore, God has to say things, you know, to get our attention and remind us and warn us about this. He's saying, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Yeah, okay, that'll go in one ear and out the other if I'm not careful. So, think about this. God will not hold a person guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is not some small thing to him that he's just going to wink at. It's not going to be, oh, that's all right. No. It is a dangerous thing to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, because God is sure to punish such sin. Now I'll read from Luke 22, starting in verse 66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said to them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." Now, those men heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard it already. They'd heard it themselves. They'd heard what people testified to about it. And it was confirmed by many miracles, including raising Lazarus from the dead. Everybody knew. Nobody could do these things unless God were with him. Nobody has ever spoken like this. He speaks with authority. Everybody could know. It was thoroughly proven many times over that what they were hearing from Jesus Christ was the word of God. But they would neither believe him nor obey him. So when he accuses them of that, rightly, look, I could say it again, but you still wouldn't believe me. But I soon will be sitting at the right hand of God in power in heaven. This is another way to issue that same warning. Here is the word of God. Now, if you're thinking that maybe you're not going to listen to it, that maybe you're going to just take the name of the Lord in vain, well then let's make this a matter of one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But God knows us. He knows how sinful sin is. He knows that we need more than that. We need a stern warning. God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You don't just get by with that. And if you're not hearing the word of Jesus Christ and keeping it, if the words of Jesus Christ have gone in your ears, but you're not believing in him, then be warned. He is not now a humble, homeless man walking around with nothing. He is on the right hand of God in heaven, and he will be coming back, and it will be him who judges the world. And you don't want to stand there in the day of judgment, having heard his word and heard that you should believe in him, but you never did. You just took his name in vain. It just went in your ear and out the other, and you never believed. You don't want to be there in that position that day. You want it to be that you have turned away from all such sin and trusted him to forgive you of even that. There were people acting that bad when Jesus came. There have been many people since who have acted just as bad. Do not go in with them. Do not repeat that foolishness in your own life. Turn from that. Trust in Jesus Christ. Blessing is pronounced on those who hear the word of the Lord and do keep it. This is how the book of Revelation begins. The third verse, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. The warning is given against taking the name of the Lord in vain, against hearing the word of the Lord and not keeping it, but the blessing is pronounced for those who will hear it and keep it. So God's commandment is that we not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. How then can we take his name, but not in vain? We take the name of the Lord, but not in vain, when we hear the word of the Lord and keep it. I'll raise one more observation about this. We take the name of the Lord, but not in vain, when we serve the saints as a labor of love toward his name. I'm going to turn for this to Revelation again, Revelation chapter 2. As the disciples of Jesus Christ, we take his name upon ourselves. When we're baptized in his name, when we call ourselves Christians, talked to you about that already. We labor for Jesus Christ out of love. We love by the love with which he loves us. That love that he showed in dying for our sins on the cross. We love with that love which he has worked in us by his Holy Spirit. We love him with that love. He has done all that we needed done, but we can't do anything for him. He doesn't need anything of us. So then, our love for Jesus Christ gets directed at those who are his in this world, at the saints. Revelation 2, starting in verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So here are the things that the Lord is saying about that work. Your works, your labor, for my name's sake you have labored. That's the way we as Christians live. We labor and we keep laboring, and if it's hard, we do it anyway, and if we have to keep at it a long time, we do. We don't grow weary in well-doing. We labor and labor, and why? For his name's sake. I'm going to turn next to Hebrews chapter 6. That labor is often the work of serving or ministering to the saints, to our fellow Christians. And that labor of love toward the saints, our Lord Jesus considers labor of love shown toward his name. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister or serve. So God sees this, doesn't forget it, and he understands when out of love and gratitude toward Jesus Christ, not being able to do anything that Christ needs, you work and do what his saints need. He understands that as a labor of love toward his name. Now, if we were to take the name of Jesus Christ upon ourselves, but then never labor for his name's sake, that would be a kind of taking the name of the Lord in vain, taking his name in a false way, never laboring for his name. Or if we were to labor for his saints, but only for selfish reasons, just to get a good reputation for ourselves, or laboring for the saints only grudgingly because we have to and can't get out of it, or if we labored for the saints only from human brotherhood or camaraderie, but with nothing in our hearts of love toward the name of Jesus Christ, that would be a taking of the name of the Lord in vain. But we take the name of the Lord, and not in vain, when we serve the saints or minister to the saints as a labor of love in the name of Jesus Christ and toward his name. God's commandment is that we not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. It implies the corresponding duty, that we are to take his name, just not in vain. How do we do that? I'm sure there is more to this than what I have covered with you in these three sessions. But here are the things that I could identify as obvious and set before you. We take the name of the Lord our God, but not in vain, when we call on the name of the Lord in faith, when we repent and find forgiveness in his name, when we baptize and receive baptism in his name, when we take the Lord's Supper, remembering his body and blood, when we gather in the name of the Lord, as we're doing here today, doing so reverently, when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ in faith, when we give praise and thanks to his name through Jesus Christ from the heart, when we read and hear the word of the Lord and keep it, and when we serve the saints as a labor of love in his name and toward his name. Amen. Please pray.